All right, we are live, everyone. Welcome to Evil Olive with Rob and Sam. Awesome. We're sitting here with our drinks right now, and we've got people watching the kids so we can actually
Exactly.
do this.
Kids are eating. They're doing their thing. Mommy's going to have their time. So here we are.
Yes. All right. Oh, it looks like we've already got someone here. Hello,
Ooh.
Shannon.
Hey.
All right. So, as you know, this last, oh, hi. Oh, thank you for being here, Shannon. So, for the month of
November.
November,
Yes.
yes, I almost said October again.
Whatever day, month it is.
Seriously, my floors are being done. It's been a whirlwind. So, for the month of November, the cases that we did were the Ward Weaver family saga, as well as the Shelley Notick one. And I will say, just to preface this for this episode, it really, really was hard.
Oh my gosh, it was so hard. Honestly, I was listening again last night, and Becca was at a work event, and so I was like, it's like 9:30, and I'm like getting ready to go to bed, and I'm like, this is not a good bedtime story, right?
No.
Sometimes I like true crime before I'm going to bed, but this one was the moment I was like, this shit is evil.
Yeah, no. Well, hence Evil Olive.
Yeah,
It's horrible. I realize I can't do the work at night, like writing,
I
because I
bet.
go to bed and I will have nightmares.
Right.
So I have to do it during the day.
Yeah.
I
No,
really
it
do because
honestly,
I
it makes
can't do it at
sense.
night.
Some cases, like you can listen to, it's like Dateline, right? You can
Yeah.
watch it and you're
You could
like,
fall
okay,
asleep.
whatever. It's a commercial in between or whatever. But you've provided so much detail, Robin, that you kind of get sucked in and you're like, oh my goodness, this is a lot of detail and you better be ready for details.
Well, even recording it, especially the Shelley Notick one, I had to stop recording because I could hear my voice and feel my voice cracking
Cracking.
through it because it was so traumatic. I mean, we'll get to that.
Sure.
Oh, we got another one. Hey, China.
Oh.
How's it
Hey, girl.
going?
Hey.
Yep, we got a few listeners here. Awesome. So, like we said, this is Evil Olive podcast. We do episodes throughout the month that are narrated by myself. And then at the end of the month, Sam and I, we end up going through and doing a banter episode. So that way you guys kind of get the best of both worlds, I
That's right.
feel. You get to listen to us chit chat and whatnot.
Well, I
So
think that's the best of the two worlds, but I might be biased. Now, you do an awesome job, obviously. And I was totally sucked in from day one. And the last like four episodes we're going to talk about was, I was literally like, what in the world? Monsters live right next door. That's what I was
yes,
thinking.
right?
It's literally could be anybody, especially when you look at their pictures. You're like, this could be a cousin, a neighbor, a teacher.
It could be
Could be
anyone.
anyone. That's
Well,
what's scary.
it is. And that's like a perfect segue right now into, we're going to talk about the Ward, or not Ward, the Weaver family saga. Because in that episode, or one of the episodes I talked about, is evil born or made? And for people, you want to know that answer because it just like in anything, if you wear a seatbelt, it protects you from a car crash. If you don't drink and drive, your chances of getting into a wreck are very, very, very low. Things like that, there's an answer for it. But the thing is, there is no real answer for these, serial killers or murderers, rapists, or whatnot. I think that's the scariest part about doing these episodes is realizing that there is no answer.
Well, you wonder that. It's like you wonder about crazy, you wonder about killer, you wonder about personality traits, depending on like if you're adopted or you meet family members later on or whatever. Like you wonder, right? And you're still curious. And it's like I don't know the right answer, but I think there's such a curiosity there. And I think this case just exploited that curiosity.
Well, it does. And it would make it so much more, I not bearable. I hate to use that word, but maybe understandable. I'm using the wrong you know, word here.
Yeah.
But if you knew, like, okay, someone who has, you know, a history. Okay, so for
example. I'm crazy as shit, don't have kids.
Right? Yeah, I'm crazy as shit, don't have kids. So, like, for example, typically when people hurt animals, it is a sign that, you know, they will hurt a human.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, like Ward, we're going to start talking about the Weaver family saga. So that's what we're getting into right now.
Yeah.
He, none of them ever hurt animals. Mm-hmm. They didn't hurt them.
That we know of, right?
Well, yes, that we know of. So let's
These are some terrible boys.
Oh my God, I know. Terrible boys. I feel bad for the, okay, we'll get into it. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of backstory.
Give like a little 2-minute reminder.
So the Weaver family saga was an interesting case to me because I did the Ashley Pond and Miranda Gaddis case that these two girls died by the hands of a man named Ward Weaver III. But after doing the research, I realized that I could literally do a podcast mm-hmm. on this family. And so that's what it's about. It's about four generations.
And local.
Yeah, and it's local too. Yeah. So we have Ward Weaver, the grandfather, and then it goes into Ward Weaver Jr.
Yeah.
And then Ward Weaver III, the man that murdered Ashley Pond and Miranda Gaddis, which is covered in episodes 1 mm-hmm. and 2 of Evil Olive. And then his son, Francis mm-hmm. Weaver.
Stepson, right?
Well, yes, stepson, yeah. Because he found out in prison that he wasn't biologically related to him.
Oh, so he found out in prison.
He found out in prison.
So I heard that he was like, you know, he's a terrible guy, all these things. And then he goes and kills somebody else.
Yeah. Right
later on. Yeah. The whole thing is just absolutely crazy. I just cannot get over though. I mean, those guys are terrible guys.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder how much led to the other. But the one person that I think is the most gruesome in this situation is that Vietnamese man.
Oh, not the Vietnam. Oh, the Vietnamese. Oh, yes.
That guy. That's a guy.
Oh, like, my God.
The whole story that kind of stuck, like, it kind of, like, in my guts.
Okay, so that was really hard to cover. Yeah. I left that out.
Yes, because that's terrible. Like, these guys are, they're terrible, terrible people, and they've been horrible people one after another, and you're not sure if it's nurture nature, but that story is just legit.
Yeah, like that was a hard one to put in. Horrible. So what Summer's referencing to is in episode 1, when Ward Weaver Jr. goes to Vietnam, there was an incident where a Vietnamese dad pretty much gave his daughter to the army guys to have their way with and have sex with. However, one of the U.S. Army guys ended up saying, hey, we actually don't want her. The father went in and slit his own daughter's throat. And so that's kind of what we're referring to. Yeah. The entire episode is horrible.
It is.
But that one incident was like, oh, my God. Like, he didn't even do that, but it was just part of it.
Exactly. That just stuck with me for some reason.
Yeah.
Because I thought that is just like, that's like so evil, it's hard to imagine.
Well, and so we'll backtrack a little bit. Ward Weaver, the grandfather, mm-hmm. was heinous by all means. Literally, there was in the court documents that I researched and read through, mm-hmm. By his own daughter's accounts, she was molested mm-hmm. by her dad. And then the mother slept with her son even on his wedding night, like slept in the same bed. Now, there is no proof that they had a sexual relationship.
It's creepy, period. Like, you people are effed up, period.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, Ward, I can't believe what Ward Weaver Jr. Mm-hmm. So the grandfather was horrible. You know, he was not a great man. He beat, I'm drinking, a beverage, and I had to have a burp. Sorry.
No worries.
So the grandfather was horrible in the sense of, you know, he beat his children. He was, you know, abusive towards his wife. He molested his own daughter.
Yeah.
But then even as his son, Ward Jr., started getting older, the things that he did to his own sister.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. You're right. That's another point. So there's like a.
I won't even discuss that on the live.
You won't even get into it.
If you want to know, you can listen to the episode.
Go listen because it's horrible.
That I didn't even know that took place until I was reading the court documents, and it was the sister describing what Ward did to her.
Right.
And that's your own brother. That's your blood.
Terrible.
And then
that's like a person though that starts so early that's evil. It's like so confusing to like understand why, right? Why did you start so early and so evil?
Well, that's the whole point of that the two episodes is are they born or are they made?
Yeah.
But then so Ward Jr. Mm-hmm. ended up divorcing his wife, whom he had, I want to say, two or three children with, two girls, and then Ward Weaver III.
Yeah.
They left, the mother left mm-hmm. after she was being abused by the husband with all three children. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Ward Jr., the father, went to Vietnam. So Ward Weaver III did not have any contact with his dad, but yet even as a child, he was a happy kid for a while, but the mother did say when he got back from a business trip with his stepdad, his demeanor changed. And, you know, I think in these moments, you feel sorry for the child, but you hate the adult, if that makes any sense.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Because they're children.
Yes, they have more weight in the situation. And that's why it's like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? That concept is probably true in some scenarios. And in this one, you have to wonder, like in all of these women's situation, they have all chosen to be with men that have abused them, taken advantage of them, and probably didn't put their needs or their kids' needs first.
Yeah.
Which is upsetting.
It is.
That's upsetting, right?
Well, and you got to think, you know, so when I do the research on these cases, I look at the mothers and I kind of get, you know, pissed off.
Of course.
Where I'm like, okay, why aren't you taking your kids out of this at the very moment you see something?
Exactly.
But then it kind of goes back to, okay, you know, we've had trauma in our lives. And sometimes, it's hard for people to get away from what they know. Mm-hmm. And even though they know, it doesn't mean it's comfortable for them, but that's all they know. And some people are afraid of change. And so they live with it. Not that that's an excuse to put your children through it.
Kids are just human nature. You want love, affection, community, right? All of those things.
That's exactly what a child wants and what they need.
Yeah. And if you give it to them in small doses, they'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's almost like you give them crumbs at a time.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're a terrible person, like the next case who gave the smallest crumbs I've ever heard of.
Oh, my God.
And Beck and I were going kind of like round and round about that earlier. But they'll take it.
Right? Yeah.
Because they don't know any better. And that's why it is always the adult's fault.
It is. Like I said, when I was doing this case, I started remembering the Ashley Pond and Miranda Gaddis one.
Yeah.
And it was really hard because I feel bad for Ward Weaver III as a child.
Of course.
So it was suspected that his stepfather maybe molested him on that business trip.
Right.
Because when the mother said that when they returned home, she just saw a darkness in him. And then he started tormenting his own siblings. But at that point, as a mother, if you suspect that, why the hell are you still with him?
Exactly.
So
this is the hard part, right? So you feel bad for the children until a certain point, and then it's a strange scenario. I still feel bad for him, to be honest. I really do.
Oh, I feel, like I said, I feel bad for the kid. But at that point, it's like, okay, you feel bad for the kid, but what was the mother doing?
Right. Whose fault is it, right? I mean, ultimately, whose fault is it? I mean,
it's
all of these terrible guys, but these women that decided to be with them.
Well, I think they need to be held accountable as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, maybe had the mother – I get you can't stop something from happening, but once you know it's happened or you suspect it, I feel like that's your duty as a parent to say, hey, I'm taking myself out of this situation.
Yeah. But it's so hard, right? I mean, you think about women that are in these hard situations, and you know, your mind starts to kind of play tricks on you, I think, in your emotions, right? Because yeah. you love the person, you're willing to give them excuses and passes. And they're also most of the time very smart people.
Yeah.
Right? These people are smart, manipulative, and they also know how to pick people. I think certain types of
the vulnerability and people.
Exactly. Yes. So they're good at that, right? So it's like they have picked certain women too. I'm sure these terrible men.
Yeah.
You know, 3-4 generations have picked certain women that they know aren't going to stand up and say, no,
stop.
You.
Yeah. No, and you. I just want to clarify, I'm not saying that if anyone's in a domestic violence situation and they don't leave, like it's their fault. I'm not saying that. My point is, if you suspect your child being molested, that goes beyond domestic violence.
Yeah.
Your child's now being put in danger. I respect any woman yeah. that's gone through domestic violence. I haven't. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate enough that, you know, I haven't gone through that.
Right.
So I can't speak on that. All sure. I can speak about is I am a mother. I love my husband. But God forbid, if anything came between that, I'd have no problem cutting ties.
Well, and I think it's so much easier for these women who've been abused already to let the abuse pass to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it. Oh, well, not a good way, but that's a different way to look at it. Yeah.
Because I think they've like settled with it. Like it's just him. It's just when he's drinking. It's just in the moment.
It's in the moment. He's not like that right. normally.
But he loves me. He loves our children. You know, he's going to do better. And of course, these people are probably right. Selling him a bill of goods of BS.
Right.
Anyway, it's terrible.
So what did you think about not Ward Sr., not the grandfather, mm-hmm. but the son of him, Ward Jr., being the trucker, Barbara Lavoie and all of that. And yeah. then in the end, he wanted to cut a deal because he said that there was, you know, 2-3 dozen deaths along the highway, the trucking highway that he used. And when the police actually looked into it, they realized a lot of missing people did correlate to his trucking stops. Yeah. But the police said no. How would you feel about the police not giving him a deal on that? Like, to give hope to the other, like, 27 family members that lost someone.
So why wouldn't they give him a deal?
I don't know. That's my point. They didn't say. They just pretty much said, we're getting you on this and it's done. Right. There was no other information that I could find.
They must not have believed, or there must not have been enough evidence, I would think. You know what I mean? One of the two.
Well, see, one of the detectives did say they looked into it. And unfortunately, there was, I mean, not concrete evidence, yeah. but evidence to support, okay, for example, January 15th, mm-hmm. someone went missing. Well, Ward Jr. was on that road January 15th.
Well, it's so hard if he's not going to say a certain place for a body or give the details that you truly, yeah. truly need. And he seems like by that time, he's probably a seasoned psychopath.
He was.
Right. So he's probably also picking people that could go missing for a little bit. You know, which is so true in so many of these cases, which is so sad terrible. Terrible, terrible.
Yeah. When I was reading the court documents mm-hmm. through that case, just Ward Jr. specifically, it honestly made me physically ill.
Yeah.
Just to hear what he did to his sister, like all of these things.
That early on, he should go away and be done and never let out.
But then I was happy that the mom left with Ward the third and his two sisters. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like, okay, she got away. She's taking them out of it. So obviously, you know, maybe there's a little bit of nurture involved mm-hmm. instead of nature. And then when you hear about Ward the third growing up, after that trip with his stepfather, you start to wonder and ask yourself, okay, he hasn't been around his own father. Yes, he had a possible encounter with molestation. However, people have been molested before and they don't go kill people.
So remind me, he wasn't around at all?
No. So when Ward Jr. Mm-hmm. went to Vietnam, his mm-hmm. son, Ward Weaver III, had left with his mother.
So that's when she left.
Yeah.
And so there was no contact.
No contact. When he got back, nothing. No contact whatsoever. The first contact Ward Weaver III had with his dad, Ward Jr., was when he was on death row, or not death row, for the trial of Barbara Lavoie in prison.
Doesn't it feel like mental illness maybe too? I don't know, to be that dark and terrible. It's like, what was going on?
Right? I don't know. That's the thing. You wonder, you ask yourself, that's why I think this episode really, sorry, we're opening up another drink because that's what we do. Yep, we drink and talk murder. So.
That's right.
But no, it's one of those things where I just lost my train of thought because I had to open that beer.
Oh, no worries.
So anyways, let's get – so we've talked about Ward Sr., mm-hmm. Ward Jr., and now we're going to kind of dive into Ward Weaver III. Like we've stated, he was the one that murdered Ashley Pond and Miranda Gaddis, which is covered in episodes 1 and 2. However,
and that's one that people probably remember.
Yeah, they do.
It was on the news everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. And you look at him, and he didn't look as crazy as he should.
No, he didn't. You know what reminded me of, like, a normal dad at a softball game.
Yes, exactly.
He did.
Like, this is why I'm like, both of these cases, I'm like, it feels a little scary, extra scary.
It is.
Because you're like, you should look messed up, but you kind of don't. Right. So,
well, that's the thing. You don't know and you don't have an answer for mm-hmm. it. And when you realize it could be the neighbor or the guy that picks up your kids from softball and helps you chauffeur them around.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the scariest part mm-hmm. about these episodes is you realize it could be anyone. And it's literally, I think it's starting to make me go a little insane where I'm like, Emma, you're not having a sleepover.
Gosh, I bet. Like, even just like the last couple, when I was like listening again late at night, I was just like getting in my head about all of it. And yeah, you start to just overthink.
You do.
Overthink the situation. Like,
and as a woman, that's what I do normally.
Of course, that's what we always do. We're moms. We overthink everything. We like play it out in our minds.
Jack's coming home late from golf and I'm like, where did you go? I get on his Gmail, look at his Google Maps. Mm-hmm. Like, why did you stop by the 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
Like,
Becca's been gone at 1 more. Like, it's been 4 hours and 3 minutes.
You said you'd be home at 3 hours and 45. Yeah, you get home
exactly,
now.
Exactly.
But no, so with Ward Weaver III, like I said, I felt bad for the kid. But then as he got older, when he, you know, started abusing his wives and, you know, his one of his friend's daughters that came to pick him up at a bowling alley and hit her with a concrete block.
Yeah. Can you imagine being that friend being like, I mean, what? The heck, right?
But that's the thing. Like, the way we grew up, like, would it be far off to say, like, if one of, like, mom or dad, one of dad's friends do something crazy like that?
No, I saw one of his friends and him and his girlfriend got in a fist fight in the front of the
seat
when I was getting out to go to Gloria's house. And I was watching them and I was like, thank you. I guess I'll just get out of the car.
Yeah,
I'm like, you guys are
deuces. I'm out.
Exactly. You guys are crazy, and I'm just going to get out before I get sucked in. But yeah, so no, it wouldn't be that crazy in that situation.
Yeah, no.
A lot of these situations are super crazy, but that definitely could happen.
So that just blew my mind. Like, oh my, I mean, he went to prison for it, which good, he rightfully should. But then he went and I want to say he went into the Navy. And, you know, went overseas and everything and, you know, married his first wife, brought her back, abused her. And, you know, it went on. Now, I did not find any evidence to support he abused his children.
Yeah.
I didn't find anything. That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Gosh,
but
hope not.
I did not find anything.
Enough at this point with these.
I know his two sisters, I won't name them by name, but his two sisters were molested by their grandfather, Ward Sr. That was in the court documents.
All of these things happening, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All these weird, shady things with mom and grandpa and steps and, you know, kids – they pick up on, you know, they pick up on.
And so that brings back to, you know, what we were talking about when Ward Weaver the Third's mom left their father because of abuse. And she did know that her daughters were molested. So she gets with this other guy. I want to say his name was Rob. Ward Weaver the Third comes back from a business trip with them. And she's like, oh, I think he was molested. Okay, your other two daughters were molested. Now you think your son's molested, yet you're not going to leave?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Leave. Like, she's at that point, but at that point, that's not even like an excuse. You should not procreate. You should not have any more children if you're not going to do your very best to ensure their safety.
And she probably thought she was, which is the sad part.
I know.
Right? Like, if you knew her and was friends with her, you would probably, I mean, who knows? She could be a terrible person, or she could be the mom next door. You know?
The mom next door that you never would suspect.
Exactly. You just don't freaking know. So let's talk about the second case.
Okay. So the son, Francis.
Oh, okay. One more.
Oh, wait.
Second case, I saw Michelle, but yes, let's
second. Oh, you're talking about the second case.
Yes, second case.
We can't move to the second case.
It's time for a drink.
That should just be our intro. Welcome to Evil Olive. By the way, a few people that know me, like close friends, when I'm narrating the podcast, they're like, you literally sound like you could be a phone operator. Like, for one of those, like, 1-900 numbers.
Actually, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking one of the meditation apps.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, Calm, Breathe, you know, those type of apps where you hear stories and you kind of have, this level voice. I get too emotional. I'm like,
Well, the thing is, right now, like, everybody that's listening to us live, they're like, oh, my God, Robin's got a loud voice. Like, how the hell does she modulate her voice?
Exactly.
That's why no one, like, can understand that, you know, I'll modulate my voice. I don't change it. I talk very low as I'm reading it because I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, and then her legs were chopped off. Like, it's not a Dr. Seuss book.
But you definitely are able to, like, pace it out, you know?
I try to. Mm-hmm. I try.
You do. Successfully.
Okay, so Francis Weaver. So we talked about Ward Weaver, Ward Weaver the Third. Mm-hmm. You know, he grew up, he abused his siblings his wives. Garbage. And then in the end, he was caught because he murdered two little girls, Ashley Pond and Miranda Gaddis. And he went to prison. Well, while he was in prison, his eldest son, Francis Weaver, it was found out it was not his biological son. Now, let me preface this as well. Francis, I believe, was the one that helped him dig a grave for Ashley and Miranda.
Well, he also came out and, like, said what a terrible guy he was.
Yes, afterwards. He did.
Like,
well, because
in the media and all of that.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and does something super crazy.
Yeah. And so, okay, Ward Weaver Jr., that was featured in episode 1. Mm-hmm. He murdered Barbara Lavoie and buried her under a concrete slab. Ward Weaver Jr. had a son, Ward Weaver the Third. He killed Ashley Pond and Miranda Gaddis. However, Ashley Pond was buried under a concrete slab.
Yeah.
And both dads ended up, they both committed nearly the same crime and tried to cover up nearly the same way.
Yeah.
And what's so sad is both of them had their sons help dig the holes for the concrete slab. And so, you know, you got to think this kid, Francis, you know, I think he was like 19 at the time, maybe 20. And he finds out, he helps his dad dig this hole for a concrete slab, doesn't think anything of it, helps him put the barrels in there, doesn't realize there's a dead little girl. And then, you know, the next summer finds out what it was. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't mess with you, like, psychologically, I don't know what would.
Well, I think it would.
And then his own dad raped his son's girlfriend. That's how he got caught.
All of these guys are such terrible, terrible guys. It's just amazing.
I know, it leaves you speechless, right?
It does. It does because you're like,
what the hell?
Now, because he stood up and stepped there, you know, all of these different things. Like, it's not nature, right?
In this yeah.
situation.
No, it's definitely not.
Nature.
Yeah.
So it's just surprising. And then when he comes out and says all this, and of course he was super upset and it was a drug deal, which so I think in this situation, it was drastically different. And maybe, you know, his ethics were skewed a little bit, unlike the three men before.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys were dirty, evil.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and that's why it kind of makes me think like, okay, maybe they were born that way because Francis, even though he made a mistake, he didn't purposefully go out and kill someone.
Well, we don't know the whole. I don't know the whole situation.
It was a drug deal gone bad.
Drug deal.
But I mean, he's not out there raping and murdering little children.
Exactly.
You know,
sisters.
Yeah.
Like going
he didn't.
Through.
From what I know, none of that. He never did that.
The three guys. Those three.
Oh God, Ward Senior, Ward Weaver Junior, and Ward Weaver the Third.
Gosh, can you imagine like going to school with one of them and then later hearing this stuff?
Oh my God! So I found out that Ward Weaver the Third went to Marshall High School. Do you know who went to Marshall High School?
Your mom?
My dad.
Oh, your dad.
Oh my God! I know. I messaged him. I was like, "Do you know Ward Weaver the Third?" And my stepmom, Jessica, had to be like, no one knows him because her dad was in Vietnam. So I was like, do you know Ward Weaver? Does your dad know Ward Weaver Jr.?
Right.
So I've asked her a couple times, does anybody know?
Like, no, Robin.
She's like, no, we're done. But I found out he was a couple years older than my dad. But you know, sometimes those like weird old dudes like to hang around the young kids.
Well, you never know from a high school. Tom went to high school with Brad Pitt, right? So it's like,
what?
Yeah. They went to high school together.
Don't tell me they were friends.
No, they weren't.
Okay. Obviously. I was going to say, like, seriously?
Obviously.
Oh, my God.
No.
Okay. And so, yeah, Francis Weaver ended up going to jail or prison for, I want to say manslaughter or whatnot. But what's so messed up, since he has the Weaver name, they gave him life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying the victim of that, you know, of the family.
Yeah, I like, don't know the whole
story. I don't know the whole story.
Well, look at Lindsay.
But
look at Lindsay. Drug deal went bad. She got 27 years.
Yeah. Still, I just don't, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him, I guess. I feel bad for Francis. I mean, I feel bad for the victim as well. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But I also feel bad for the life he had.
Well,
I mean,
in a drug deal situation, it's much different than all the rest. Like,
well, that's the thing. He's obviously in an altered state of mind. Mm-hmm. It's not like he is of sound mind and body and sober and like, I am going to kill children.
Yeah, I mean, all like these the three guys, they were methodical.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, they planned it. They covered it up. They lied to friends, family.
You know,
this guy did this stupid thing and he's attached to terrible people. And
yeah.
That sucks.
And exactly. I think that's the best way to describe it. It sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the Weaver family saga. Mm-hmm. Like I said, that is covered in two parts. I want to say episodes five and six. Because seven and eight are Shelley.
Yes.
So, oh my gosh. All right. We're going to get into.
This one's so stressful that I actually like kind of makes my stomach hurt a little bit. Even thinking about it now, you know,
it does.
It's just terrible. It's horrible. And the fact that she's getting out.
Oh, well, I think it's I think it's possible early release.
2022.
Wow.
She's getting out, and you're like, you killed a couple of people, tortured three babies their whole life.
God, I know.
And you can get out now? And the girls actually are like, you know, be careful.
Oh,
because they know. They're like, that bitch be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Shelley Notick case, for those of you that do not know, it is, by the way, Greg Olson, if you are listening, thank you for writing the book, If You Tell. And to all of our listeners, please go read it. It explains the case in so much detail that it's unbelievable the way that this author, Greg Olson, can convey so much empathy towards these children, yet, you know, paint a vivid, scary picture of this mother, if that makes any sense, mm-hmm. where you're like, you're hating this mother, but at the same time, you're like crying for these kids.
Yeah. No, it makes total sense.
So Shelley Notick is a Washington State local. And as a kid, she grew up near Battleground, Washington. And even as a child, she had problems. She would put like broken glass in her siblings' shoes just to watch them like bleed and get cut. She was transferred from multiple different schools because of, you know, lying. For one example, she lied that her father raped her. Yet when the doctor examined, they're like, she's still intact, meaning she was a virgin. So school kicked her out. She bounced from school to school, family member, had a child, had, you know, I want to say 2-3 marriages before she stayed with the husband that's at the end of our story. And she ended up having 3 girls. And the story that we're going to get into today is what she did to those 3 girls, as well as her house guests.
Listen, I don't want to get into super detail because you can listen to the detail. But from a big picture, you know what she reminded me of? You know, I can't remember the actual, you know, when you go to the
hospital. Talking about Mommy Dearest.
No, you know, when you go to the hospital and you fake like you're sick.
Oh my God. What is that called?
And then people.
Oh my God. If there's a listener.
Yes. Help us with that word.
What's that word? Oh my God.
You fake it.
Munchausen?
Right? Yes. That sounds Munchausen. Right. Yes. That's what I started to like think about with her, because she's obviously a narcissist to the nth level. But Munchausen. Then I started thinking about that. Like, she wants to help the people she hurts, right? To take care of. It's like,
yeah,
it's a little different. You know what I mean? But it's still the attention and like, let me help you after I hurt you.
And see, I tried to look up what that would mean. Like, someone that intentionally hurts someone just to help them. Like, what gratification do you get from that?
I think it's just narcissism.
I'm sorry, I'm grandma. Sure. Grandma. Okay, so grandma's listening in. Hey, I know you don't like grandma. Me cussing, but that woman is fucking evil.
Oh, for real.
And I think grandma would even agree with that.
Anyone would agree. Absolutely, 100%. She's terrible. And moms, listening to that, it's like you can't even comprehend. You can't even, like, your brain is like, oi, 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 oi.
Oh my God, when Nikki recounted what happened to her as a little girl when she was like 4 years old, her mother holding a pillow, like she was having a nightmare,
right?
And she woke up with her mother holding a pillow like next to her. It's okay, honey, I'm here.
Yeah.
And then you find out she did it with her youngest years later, and it clicked with Nikki. Like, oh my God, did my mom do this to all of us?
Yeah.
I'm going to cry because it's
terrible.
You know, when my kids were born, like, I always had, oh God, I'm not going to cry. You know, the SIDS thing where you walk in to make sure they're breathing.
Yeah.
And yet this mother is smothering them as babies.
And you know what I think?
I think frustrating.
All of these kids, right, when the other person comes in the house, whoever it is, that friend, that nephew, which is so sad, but I guarantee they're like, it's not me, right? Like, you know what I mean? You're like,
well, just like what Nikki and Shane said, like, hey, we don't want to see what's happening to Kathy. We know it's sad, but it's not us.
Right. But at some point you're just
children.
Like,
hey, I remember like watching, you know, dad or mom yell at Drew, and I'm like, thank God it's not me, because as a kid, that's the way you think.
Yeah.
And it's not meaning that you don't care for them. You want to, but you know, if you intervene, you're going to get a whipping. And I'm sorry, no kid wants to get in trouble. Well,
and you think about the level she probably took it to. I mean, these kids went without food, water,
toilet, bathing,
all of it. Oh, and like, God. You put any normal kid in that situation, we fail like one night. Like, you put me in the trunk, you put me in a closet, for like, I will freak out.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going through the wall, or I don't know. I don't know even what I would do, you know?
Like, what would you do?
I don't know. But I'm pretty sure unless you're ingrained in it, you wouldn't put up with it.
No.
You know, because you couldn't. But when you're ingrained and it seems like, oh, this is normal, like I've been bad and I'm going to be in the closet without food for a couple of days.
Yeah. What is that? It's like Pavlov's like behavioral
law.
Yeah. Whatever that is. You know, it's almost as if, and you have to understand these kids grew up with it.
Exactly.
It wasn't, you know, like it started when they were, you know, 8 years old. They were, you know,
yeah, from two, they
were
three.
They were desensitized exactly. at a young age exactly. to think that's that this saying. Was normal.
And they were just survivors, I mean, from the start.
Oh, my God.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, any other person you add in, of course, she's killing Moth because her kids are like, we're going to work through this. And they stuck together.
They
and
did.
It's terrible, terrible story. The best positive side is that they're all still together.
They are.
You know?
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
It made me think, like, not the story, but like how close a sister's bond is.
Yeah.
You know, like with us, it's mm-hmm. like, oh my God, if anything happens to you or anybody hurts you,
yeah.
I'm there. Yeah. Same like you with me. And you've been more that person ever since like you met me. I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. When your mom or your dad started dating my mom.
Yes.
I was like in tears because they kissed. And I think I was like 6 years old and you were like 14 or 13. Yeah. And you were just holding me in the rocking chair. And I was like, I don't like your dad. And you're like, it's okay. I don't like your mom either.
Exactly.
You know, so even like, even though we weren't sisters at that point, it's almost like.
But we built over time.
Oh, yeah.
And situations in life and family and
oh god everything and yeah
you know what I mean that's
fights and happiness like all of it
and then I mean some people are different right like once I decide you know you're my person right and it's because I love that
you're my person,
yeah
# Grey's Anatomy mm-hmm. What's up. We don't say best friends here. We say person.
That's right.
You're my person.
You're my person.
You're my person. But no, so with, you know, that Shelley Notick case and what she did to her kids, you know, I felt bad for Sammy and for Tori, but I think Nikki being
the oldest, yeah, she got
I think she endured so much more than probably what was even in the book.
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much that I left out, you know, even in the story, I didn't even tell you this. Shelley would try and embarrass her kids by say, hey, or by saying, go upstairs and cut your pubic hair off because mm-hmm. I'm going to save it for the baby book.
Just anything.
Her daughters would do it. And then she'd come down and be like, you fucking idiot. Excuse my language, but that's what she would say.
Still, what gets me is that this lady is getting out of jail.
I know. Well, you know the dad's already out.
Yeah, he already got out. Drives me crazy.
So the dad.
Absolutely batshit crazy at this point. Like, I just am like, I don't even know what to think about the legal system.
Yeah.
Who's willing to let somebody like this go when all three of the daughters said these horrific things? Like, can you do one of the things that they did? No, you go straight to jail. And they said all of these.
I was like getting a little emotional. I had to cough. Sorry,
yeah, guys. No. Like, and my chair is kind of making the click.
No. So we did have a question from Chris with regards to if Shelley and Dave are still married. And I don't know. I don't know if they ever filed for divorce. I know, or did I say Shelley and
David?
Dave. Oh, yeah. I thought I said Shane. Sorry.
Yeah.
So Dave. I know Dave got out.
Well, somebody should Google it, but I think they probably still are.
I think they're still married. I tried to look it up earlier because the question came in this afternoon.
He must have been so obsessed with her to do these
things.
I don't
think he would divorce her.
No. He must have been super obsessed. And she's still like probably thinking in her head, we're going to get back together and I'm going to like take advantage of
and
him
that's,
still.
Well, and that's why the question got brought up by Chris.
Yeah.
Hiya, Chris.
Hey. Hey, girl. Hey.
So, you know, she had a question of if they're still married and she's going to get out, would they get back together?
So the girls have forgiven him.
I heard
and
that.
Not her. So my guess is they're definitely not going to get back together.
But why would they? So I don't understand why they would forgive him.
Well, they think that she's the mastermind, you know, and they probably think he's weak and followed.
But see, this is where I differ. He is his own person. And
100%, totally.
Why? He participated in the abuse with Kathy and all the children. In the kids, I mean, maybe for the daughters, like I'm not, maybe the daughters, they saw more than what we're privy to. Yeah. And so maybe they understood it better. But I'm saying just from the book and what I've researched and what I've read, that guy's a freaking monster as well.
So I think it truly goes back to like real true monsters find that person. You yeah. know what I mean? And I think she's probably the true monster. And these girls probably know it because they were, I mean, they're 20 years old at that point. You know.
Yeah.
You know, by 20. For sure. So I think they probably knew she's the true monster and he's a sucker.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the way I view him too.
Yeah.
Like he's just a sucker. Well,
it's either that or he's just been scandalous and gotten away with shit. And
he maybe, should, but he seems.
But both of them, listen, to both of them should never get out at all.
No.
They're both evil, effed up people.
I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to say what he did to go to prison because if you want to know, listen to episodes 8 or 7. Oh my God. Aunt Chris was so pissed off about that. I got a message from China.
Yeah.
Mom wants to know if episode 2 is out. I'm like, no, it's next week. Why?
Yeah. When you get sucked in, you're like, no, I need more.
Oh my God. And I called my grandma. I was like, Grandma, how'd you like that episode? She's like, well, it made me a little queasy. I just had dinner. And I was like, oh God, you got to do intermittent fasting when you're listening to our episode.
Yes. When Becca came in and I was listening to it, she's like, what are you doing?
Oh my God. I know. Jax heard me talking when he walks in the room and I'm like saying like, and then she slid down the hill and there was blood everywhere. Yeah. And Jax like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, you gotta have the backstory. You don't understand
it. Most of the time I actually like, I'm a weirdo too. Like true crime can kind of like make me feel tired and I get sucked into it. But this is different.
This was almost sick.
It was hard to listen to. I mean,
the only reason why I did it was because the girls survived.
Yeah.
And it shows a testament to, you know, sisters loving and taking care of one another and being like, okay, enough is enough. Because they turned in their mother.
You would have to, otherwise you'd have no choice. And then you would know which one's getting picked on and you would try and like
make
the fall for the other.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they balanced all of it out and they're close today. So there's no doubt that they went through hell together and survived.
I know. And I think that's, you know,
a story, not this bitch ass crazy lady.
Not this mom, but the story of these that's a great point, actually, Summer. And in fact, you know what? If you want to listen to what Shelly did, listen to the damn episode. We're going to talk about the three surviving sisters because they are badass. Like they
amazing.
Okay, Grandma, earmuff it for a second. They're called Babs, badass bitches. They're Babs because they're amazing.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
They're great. I mean, Sammy, I want to say she's a school teacher and she has children. Nikki lives in, you know, I won't say, but she lives in a really nice neighborhood and she's
still
doing good.
But they're still all close.
They are.
That's the most important thing. Who cares what they're doing? I'm just so happy that they stayed together.
Because sometimes I feel connected. With trauma, it can make you be apart. Like, I don't want it because you're a reminder of that past.
Exactly. So these girls are amazing. I mean, in my eyes, I find them.
Oh, I'm getting a little teary eyed because they are.
They really are. And that's cool. They're still together. I hope now they're together forever. And with the mom getting out, I hope it doesn't like remind them of anything and they stay away and keep doing their thing.
Really, and this is why we're bringing this episode to light. It's not to give Shelly publicity in a good way. It's to let all these viewers and people know that listen to our episode, she is expected to get out of June 2022. And so, you know, write your local representative, congressman, congresswoman, whatever.
Or just beware, the bitch is on the loose.
Yeah, beware. She's loose. Because, yeah, no. But that concludes. Oh, wait. I totally forgot. I meant to bring this up earlier, and I forgot about it. I had it on my notes, but I got sidetracked with saying hello to people. So there is a podcast. It's called Inner Monologue 510, and it's monologue spelled M-O-N-O-L-O-G. But
O-G?
Oh, geez. No, these guys are freaking hilarious. So they had an episode. This is pertaining to the Weaver family saga. Sorry, Inner Monologue. I had my notes underneath my laptop and forgot to grab it. But I wanted to bring this up because in Inner Monologue's podcast, season 2, episode 21, they had a lady by the name of Dr. Christy Overstreet.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought up the fact of incest. So like with, mm-hmm. you know, Weaver and his mother. And they said that it's like the most, like number one thing on Pornhub that's searched in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I thought that terrible. Was just so crazy. So when I mean, they talked about so many other things. You guys should really go listen to their podcast. They're great. And
shout out.
I know, right? I love them. That episode was so funny. I kept laughing out loud. And Jack's like, what are you listening to? I was like, you won't get it. Cause it was about like sex and cause it's like a sex.
You won't get it, Jack. It's about sex. Shout out, Jack.
That's terrible. Oh. I didn't mean it that way.
All right. We better wrap this up.
But no. So
going off the rails here.
That was a great episode with regards to, you know, the way when I listened to it, it made me think like, oh my God, like, does this have to do with like Ward Weaver Jr. Mm-hmm. And how it relates to like his mom and all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so honestly, it was a fucking amazing episode. I was laughing.
Well, I'll go check it out.
Oh my God. It was hilarious. But I meant to bring that up at the beginning of the show with him, but my freaking notes are underneath the damn laptop.
Who needs notes? No notes.
I do, because look at what happens. I forget it.
No notes. Shout out to fam. Love you guys.
Yep. Kiss. That concludes our November banter of the Weaver family saga and the Shelley Notick case. Thank you to everyone for coming, Shannon, Chris, Sylvia, China, and everyone else that I can't see because I can't scroll. But we love you guys, and thanks for listening. And tune in next week for a new episode.
Deuces.
Oh, no, you didn't. All right, guys, have a good night. Bye.